Masters weekend happened, and boy, Scottie Scheffler seems unstoppable. He was the winner of the Masters, and to join us to talk golf, we've got world-class ball striker, former Canadian Tour champ, Alan McLean. Now, Alan, you said last week on the show that the Masters was Scottie Scheffler's to lose, and spoiler alert, he didn't. This guy is just an amazing golfer.
Clearly. I think he was the undisputed favorite this week, and he lived up to it. I mean, that was an impressive weekend of golf, and under those conditions, he deserved to win.
He was basically leading all weekend, wasn't he?
He was. I think, he fell back into a tie for the lead, but I don't think he relinquished it totally over the course of the weekend, not to my knowledge.
What do you think of Scheffler's swing and the way that front foot always seems to move when he's on the tee block?
I'm going to say one word, and that's consistency. it's funky, and I was watching the telecast, and someone said, well, we're going to probably have hundreds of thousands of kids trying to mimic that move over the coming years, but I don't think it's for everybody.
I kind of do that, I think.
On purpose?
I lift both my feet while I'm swinging. The problem is the ball doesn't go. Sometimes it doesn't even go in the right direction when I'm hitting it.
Chaz, we talking about your swing would take a whole nother episode. Scotty would have to come to you for lessons.
What were the highlights of the weekend outside of Scheffler dominating?
You know, personally, I don't know whether it's a sadist in me or I enjoyed watching those guys struggle. You know, the course played really difficult. The conditions were difficult. You know, a lot of these guys hit some shots. I was looking and going, I can hit that shot, you know. I just enjoyed watching them struggle around the Masters a little bit. That was my thought after everything was done.
Yeah, Sunday you're seeing multiple balls go in the water, in like shrubbery, balls are getting all tangled up. It was a little reassuring for people who aren't the best at golf. The good guys do it too sometimes, right?
They do, and it was nice to watch. It really was. Generally, the scores are very low at the Masters, and I thought the course had been tamed over the last few years, but it was nice to watch them struggle.
Are you going to miss Vern Lundquist as the broadcaster for the Masters? He just did his 40th and final Masters broadcast on the weekend.
Thanks for the memories. Your voice has been a beautiful instrument. Thank you for a wonderful soundtrack for all of our lives.
Thank you so much, Jim. My honor, my privilege.
He's got places that you just recognize if you're a golfer. And yes, I think that call on 16, he choked up a little bit after, you know, when he was doing his last little blurb there. But yes, I think it's one of those voices you'll miss from the Masters.
You're teeing off this morning. What tournament are you playing in, Alan? Where are you?
I'm in Dallas. I'm trying to qualify for the Inspirity Charity Celebrity Challenge. So I'm off in about an hour and a half.
Attaboy.
Any big celebrities playing with you today?
None. I'd need to get into the event to get into a pairing with one of those guys.
That would be amazing,
oh, yeah,
man.
Well, we'll let you go. Start warming up that swing, Alan. I'm sure you're going to do great today. Thanks for taking some time for us.
You're welcome, gentlemen. We'll chat soon.
Jim, you spent some time outside with the dogs on the weekend?
I did, yeah. Took them for some long walks and did some yard work. But, yeah, my one dog was sick all weekend, unfortunately. So,
Bruce or Murphy?
Bruce was. We have two. Bruce is the older one, 7 years old, and he was going to the bathroom, to put it mildly, every 45 minutes, like on Thursday and Friday. I had to take him out.
Scratching at the door to get out, sort of
whining and barking. And then, like, even overnight, I had to wake up every 45 minutes to let him out. And I was going insane because it was like 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. And I realized that's what torture, you know, one of the torture methods is every time you fall asleep, they wake you back up. That's what it felt like. I felt like
cruel,
I was delusional.
Cruel and unusual punishment.
I was like, come on, Bruce. But then it started getting really bad on Saturday. There was like a little bit of blood in the stool. So we're like, okay, this is getting serious. We took him to the vet, got some medicine, started feeding him some different food. And
you went from frustrated and angry to concerned real quick.
And I was like, I'll never yell at you again, little guy. I'm sorry.
If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a dog. I don't have a cat. But I hear people with pets always complain about vet bills. What did it cost you to take the dog to the vet?
I think it was just a couple $100. It wasn't crazy. Yeah.
Have you had a bad one?
No. I'm trying to think of, like, I have a buddy whose dog has cancer right now, which is brutal, and it's costing him thousands. I don't know how old the dog is, but he's a buddy on my soccer team.
It's tough, eh?
And it's like, I would just probably let him go. I don't know. I would, like, take him up to cottage country for a couple weeks or something like that, let him have a good life, and then maybe let him free. I don't know what I would do.
Take him to the dog park, let him sniff all the butts that he wants.
Just, like, take him to Vegas for 3 nights, you know? But I feel like it would be...
Dogs do like playing poker, if my research...
taste in art.
that I've done over the years is any indication.
Yeah, yeah. But my wife would never let that. Like, she would probably want to invest.
Spend every penny until you knew you did whatever you could.
I love them, too, but it's just when you spend, it's not guaranteed. Like, if you could guarantee 3 more years for $5,000, then I'd be like, okay, let's do it. But sometimes you pay the $5,000, and then 2 weeks later he passes, and then it's all for nothing.
But Bruce is doing okay now.
He's doing great. Attitude's back. You know, he's loving life again.
And he let you sleep through the night last night, most importantly.
His spine isn't humped up anymore, you know, because he's got to go 24-7. So, yeah, we're good.
Story we've been covering for months now on the program is that box of unopened OPG hockey cards that was found from Wayne Gretzky's rookie year in the early 80s. Someone had this thing in like the attic.
Yeah.
And they came across it, put it up for auction, and it went for millions of dollars. And now it turns out the guy who bought it, the guy who won the auction, has changed his mind. He doesn't want the cards anymore.
Yeah, he bid $3.7 million for the 1979-1980 rookie cards. He's a realtor. He said he's in the real estate business, explained that he's not a huge hockey card collector himself, but has a keen eye for value and was keeping a close tabs on the online bidding for the boxes as the auction deadline loomed in February. He said he already owns one rookie Gretzky card. He said he drank 4 cans of energy drinks to stay sharp as the new bid prompted a half hour wait for responses. I think he got caught up in the bidding process.
Oh, I've done that. I've been to live auctions. I've done the online auction thing, and sometimes it's just more about winning than it is actually wanting or needing the item, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I heard him on the radio the other day, too. He did, like, a live interview, and he said, I got caught up in it. I realize I don't really want these cards too bad, so if anybody else wants them, I'm willing to make a deal or find new buyers for them. But it makes me wonder that since if he's a realtor, if the... the prices of houses are going down and real estate's going down. Did he get in over his head? Because a lot has changed in a couple months. And he's like, okay, maybe this wasn't the good investment I thought it was in February.
Interest rates when they were 1.6, maybe that's when I should have bought all these hockey cards. Not now.
Yeah.
I can relate with the guy getting caught up in the heat of the moment at an auction. But at the same time, I don't think that's an excuse. You can't just say, oh, I got caught up in the heat of the moment. I don't really want the item.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you still have to pay for it?
Well, I don't know because the property, the cards are actually in a third-party auction site's hands right now, and they said they haven't received the money. So I wonder what's going to happen here if they're in limbo, if he does owe them the money, or if he can still walk away from the bid in the first place.
Yeah. Obviously, the item, there's no guarantee how many Wayne Gretzky cards are actually going to be in there, what condition they're going to be. So it is a bit of a gamble.
Yeah.
But
he's reaching out to like all the famous Canadians too. He's like, please, is anybody interested? Drake?
Drake.
He name called Drake, hoping that Drake will swoop in there and save his woes, but I don't know.
Well, so you get Jake Paul.
Who else Post Malone. Cards? He loves cards.
These are kind of like Pokemons. I wonder if he was putting anything else in that Red Bull or the Monster Energy drinks that he was drinking while during that auction.
A little Red Bull vodka, maybe?
Yeah. Always go into an auction sober.
Impressions. It's worst impressions.
Yes, we are getting you to do some impressions. Seth Rogen, 42 years old today. Happy birthday. He's got a very unique laugh, that guy. Three contestants ready to go here. Whoever does the best Seth Rogen laugh is going to win $100 worth of Lotto Max tickets. Enrico is listening in Hamilton. Have you been warming up while you're on hold there, Enrico?
Yeah, I can't believe how nervous I am, too. You know, it's good. Just pacing back and forth here.
Okay.
Anytime you're ready, let's hear your best Seth Rogen laugh.
I can't believe it. A month has a dream.
It's pretty good. Can we get a little more of the laugh?
Not bad.
This is great.
When you say words, it sounds less like Seth Rogen, but the laugh,
pretty close. One more, Enrico, just so it's...
Mid-smoke.
Let's go to Jacob in London. How are you, Jacob?
I'm doing pretty good.
Nice.
It's probably going to sound more like an anime character, but here I go.
Okay. Seth Rogen laugh.
Sounded like Fat Albert at the start, but try again.
It did. It sounded like a mix between Fat Albert and a lawnmower starting. One more time.
It's like it's quickly speeding up. Okay.
Ryan in Woodstock, are you ready to give us your best Seth Rogen laugh?
Oh, yeah, ready to go.
Take it away.
Not bad.
Thanks.
Are you done?
A little Barney Gumble-esque.
Man, that's okay.
Three decent ones. I'm leaning towards Enrico. I think the first one was probably the closest.
I agree. Enrico, congratulations. You got $100 with a lot of Max tickets.
Hey, thank you.
Or as that's it, as Seth Rogen would say.
Can't lose it a bit.
Happy birthday, Seth Rogen. Devin Peacock is our sports guy. He joins us. Dev, you called it. The Coyotes, Arizona Coyotes, going to Salt Lake City.
Players were reportedly told on Friday that the team is going to relocate. They have not officially confirmed this. The season ends for Arizona on Wednesday, however, and all the reports are that potentially next week, both front office staff, if they wish to relocate, and players will go down to Salt Lake City and check it out.
What a change in lifestyle for all those players, huh?
So I was looking at the alcohol laws in Salt Lake City because I got curious, like, what's in store here? And for a long time, it was extremely restrictive in terms of buying alcohol.
I think Arizona is so close to Vegas, it kind of has like that Vegas party runoff. The weather is always super hot. But from what I've heard from other athletes and comedians that go through Salt Lake City, it is one of the nicest cities in America. It's super clean. And in fact, it's actually underrated. Now, it may not be party central, but it's a beautiful city.
It's definitely not party central, but it still can be a really nice place. I think there's going to be hockey players who really enjoy it and really like it there. However, if you look at the history of the Utah Jazz, it's not exactly a free agent destination. But you look at guys like, look at the Stahl family. Like, they love Carolina. Like, they like Minnesota. Like, there's guys, if you want to be, like, if you like to hunt, you like to fish, you like to do that sort of stuff, Salt Lake City's your place, you know? So yeah. I do think for a lot of guys in the NHL, it's going to be a place they're going to want to go. And when you look at Utah as opposed to Arizona, so the new owner here that's going to be owning the Coyotes, they're going to have a name change. They've already been asking people what they want to name the team, and the team's not even there yet. They are well regarded within the NBA. The NHL is excited to have them. The governor has already signed off on building a new arena. So when you look at all the problems they've had in Arizona, none of that exists in Utah.
I think I've got the name, guys. Just
here
came
we go.
To me.
Okay.
The Salt Lake City Peppers.
So it's like the Salt and Peppers?
Is yeah. That Salt Lake City Peppers.
Would the Okay, I'm picturing like a chili pepper on their thing, but it would have to be a pepper shaker.
I was picturing like the big pepper mill.
The grinder.
You go to an Italian restaurant and they're like 5 feet away from you. And they're sure. Like, would you like some fresh pepper?
And when you take a lot of shots on a goalie, what do they call it?
You're getting peppered.
Yeah.
So they are peppering the other teams, ideally. The Salt Lake City Peppers, done.
I'll take my check in the mail.
Close the suggestion box. We figured it out.
Seal it up. Send it home.
Thanks, Deb. This week is the one-year anniversary of the heist at Pearson Airport. They still haven't caught him. Somebody got away with 400 kilograms of gold and $2 million U.S. in cash. We're talking like $22 to $25 million worth of goods that were stolen from Pearson Airport.
And the authorities seem to be completely bamboozled with how they pulled it off. There seemed to be like no leads or barely any points of entry where they got in. So it is really a mystery.
The investigation is ongoing. Police are still trying to figure this one out. You wonder if they know more than we know. Right?
Likely.
Sure they do.
Why wouldn't they?
If they're close at all, if they have any suspects or...
Or if they're in on it.
Oh, imagine. But there are, now starting to be issues with the resources that have been granted to this investigation. You know, how long do you keep looking into this? And you've got people working this case. They could be working other cases. Apparently, one of the companies that was a victim of this has moved on. The Swiss company that was robbed, the gold and stuff belonged to, considers the case to be closed.
Yeah, but they probably got an insurance payout. They're like, yeah.
They're moving on.
The insurance company may have not moved on.
Yeah, exactly. But just imagine those guys or gals, whoever stole that.
Yeah, it's truly.
1 year later.
It's kind of amazing. I don't encourage it, but I do. I have always found breaking out of jail and giant heists like this super intriguing. Like, how do you pull it off? Like, there must have been so much preparation. Probably an inside mole who knew how to get in there, obviously. Yeah.
Well, you need a crew, right?
Yeah, each with their different skills.
Different skills, different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get along, you know, they'd never be friends outside of the heist.
Oh, no.
But once you get them in a room together, each one does their thing.
Truly, yeah. You got the, like, Seth Green type who's really good with the computers. He's the hacker shutting down the cameras, you know, back in the van.
The guy with the stethoscope to open the safe.
Yeah.
Safe cracker.
Sure. You need the acrobatic, preferably Asian gentleman to do backflips over all the lasers. According to the movies I watch.
Yeah, you know, I'll take the Catherine Zeta-Jones
with
style
the tight
thief,
pants. Yeah.
With the yoga pants on to slide underneath the lasers.
That's a good move, too.
Yeah. You arch that back and make sure you get that butt cocked in the air before you bring it down underneath the laser. That's just good technique.
I'm just thinking of the acrobats. I think we need to look at the Cirque du Soleil people. How do you get in there without touching the ground?
You put five Cirque du Soleil performers in carry-on baggage.
They get up to, there's a tall window. They all get on each other's shoulders. Hup, hup, hup.
Maybe. Follow the lead there, police.
Yeah, you're welcome.
1 year later, no arrests, no sign of the gold or the cash that was stolen from Pearson Airport. This is a good Reddit discussion page to follow, Jim.
Yeah.
Slumlords Canada. Renters post frustrating stories, pictures, videos involving their slumlords.
I've seen hundreds.
You may have seen this over the weekend then. There was an ad posted to Kijiji. It was advertising a room for rent in Brampton. And in the picture of the bedroom, you see there's nice, There's an end table there. You got the, looks like a queen size bed. You've got a guy sleeping in the bed with a blanket over top of him. This is in the advertisement.
The guy's feet, his bare feet are sticking out from under the blanket.
Hanging out from the bottom of the comforter. And, yeah, people are freaking out, saying, what is this landlord thinking? Taking a picture of a sleeping tenant and posting that as a room for rent ad on Kijiji. Here it is, $500, room for rent, Brampton, Ontario. There's a screen cap because the ad has since been taken down. Don't know if that means that the room has been rented or if maybe the attention that the landlord was getting made him rethink his decision. Well, post that picture.
It comes with a lot of amenities except a lock on the door.
Yeah.
And $500, pretty cheap for rent these days. Like, that's a good deal.
And at least you know who was in there before you. Right?
Yeah.
Apparently, you're not supposed to be doing that, though, if you're a landlord.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're not supposed to be walking into your tenants' houses unannounced while they're sleeping, taking pictures of them. In Ontario, landlords are required to give 24 hours notice before entering a rental.
There's a good chance this is just a bedroom, though. Like, the guy lives in the house with them.
Maybe the landlord lives in the house as well.
If the rent is that cheap, I'm assuming that's the only way that that'll work.
But still, you don't kick the door open while your guy's sleeping there. What, like, why?
He didn't kick it open. He slowly turned it so he didn't awaken the man.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, man. It's just, if this was just one post, I'd be like, oh, that's a crazy landlord. But there's so many postings. Yeah. I mean, this subreddit exists for a reason because there's so many bizarre postings for rooms.
I understand there's two sides to every story. And in a lot of cases, there's decent landlords that are dealing with nightmare tenants, right? The roles are reversed. But I think this is pretty hard to defend your actions when you're a landlord sneaking into your tenant's bedroom while they're asleep, taking a picture and using that to advertise the room.
Yeah.
Does he even know you're kicking him out?
Yeah, wait. I thought I had 3 months left on this lease.
He wakes up from his nap, opens up Kijiji, and sees a picture of himself sleeping in his own bed, which is now available to rent. On the weekend, my 7-year-old son Grayson and I went out for a walk. This is about 9:45 on Saturday morning. And we're walking through an area. There's like a sidewalk, but there's a lot of trees and a couple of forests right around there. So we're walking down the sidewalk, and my son starts joking around doing this thing where he's like, my legs are so sore, Daddy. I don't want to walk anymore. And then he lies down on the sidewalk. And every time he does it, I start running, and then he'll get up and run after me.
Mm-hmm.
So he does that. He lies. He's like, oh, he goes, uh-oh, my legs are too tired. And he lies on the sidewalk. So I run ahead about 50 feet from him, and I hide behind this tree.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so when he sits up, he's like, where'd Daddy go? You know, we're just joking around. So I'm hiding behind this tree, and I see something come out of the woods, and it gets in between myself and my son, and he sees it. He starts getting nervous. He's now standing up, and it's a coyote that is just eyeing up Grayson.
Jeez.
Staring right at him.
Licking his chops?
It seemed like it. The coyote obviously didn't see. I didn't even have time to really register how serious the situation was. I just jumped out, and I yelled, Grayson! And the coyote looked over its shoulder at me, realized I was there, and slowly turned and walked across the path and went into the trees on the other side.
Eyed you up and said, not messing with this big boy today. How big was a coyote, though?
It was a large one. It was the size, probably the size of your dogs.
If it's the size of my dogs, that's a big coyote.
It was a big coyote.
Huh.
And
so the size of a Labrador.
And Grayson came, you know, slowly walked over to me. I'm like, buddy, come here. And he was freaked out because he initially thought it was just a dog, right? He didn't realize, like, he was still freaked out, but he didn't realize how serious it was. And he got over to me, and I was like, buddy, that was a coyote. And he's like, what? I don't know if he'll ever come on a walk with me again.
Yeah. Or maybe he won't register exactly what, you know, because, like, coyotes, they are dangerous, but generally only in a pack.
Right.
You know, but, you know, occasionally a single coyote will attack a smaller dog. Will they attack a 8-year-old child? Maybe. I don't know if I've heard that, but they'll definitely go after other small pets.
Well, check this out. And I didn't tell Devin Peacock this story, but coincidentally, we share headlines every morning when we get in for the show. Devin Peacock sent me this news story from London, Ontario. Pack of coyotes, stray dogs, seriously hurt man in middle of the night attack. So this just happened over the weekend. This is from the London Free Press. They're saying that man got attacked by dogs and coyotes.
Whoa, they've united.
It sounds like it. And there's some tips that I wish I had known here. When confronted by a coyote, you should keep eye contact and slowly back away. The worst thing you can do is turn around and start running.
Yeah, yeah. Then it becomes a game.
Right.
You become prey.
You become the prey.
Yeah, yeah. I watched that movie The Grey with Liam Neeson, and I think what you need to do is carry around 8 bottles of vodka, the little ones.
Yeah. Miniature airplane bottles.
Yeah, smash them.
Tape them to my knuckles.
Like sharp brass knuckles.
I'll just have some hiking gloves that I bring with me every time I go walking now.
Special hiking gloves.
Little smashed Smirnoff vodka bottles in the knuckles.
Yeah, yeah. It would actually make me want to carry maybe a walking stick.
Yeah, or is there coyote spray? I know there's bear spray.
And it's not like you're near the outskirts of town. You're kind of in the middle of a city.
I know. I know. And I've heard from other people that they've been seeing a lot of coyotes this season. Just so you're aware, they're out there. It's Taz and Jim, Devin Peacock, our sports guy, is here. And I am listening to these guys come up with an account of how things would have went if I had to fight that coyote that got between my son and I on the weekend when we were out for a walk.
Yeah, yeah. I think it comes down to 2 words. Taz screaming, "Save yourself!" as he runs away. Sorry, Greg, we had a good run.
No, there was a split second where I had to mentally prepare myself for the fact that if that coyote starts running on my son, I got to go and get in there, and it's not going to be a pleasant experience for anyone.
It would be a new day for Grayson.
Yeah.
In that sort of a situation.
It would be awesome for Grayson if you won the fight. There would be nothing cooler than your dad fighting a coyote or a small wolf, whatever you want to call it. If you I would call it a small wolf if I won the fight. And if you took that wolf/coyote down in front of your 7-year-old son.
Yeah.
Dude, there's
legend.
No wrong you could do after that.
A lot of dad cred there.
And now I feel...
Do you get it taxidermied? I think you do.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, you get it taxidermied. You are looking at the woods, because you know there's more than one right there. Like, if it's, you know, you got some dogs.
Oh, yeah, you get it taxidermied into a cloak where its head is on top of your head, and then you stare at the woods as a threat.
You might even, like, develop a taste for coyote. You just go back to the same area, just hoping to relive it.
That adjunction surge was
just
so...
Just hoping another coyote just takes a run at you.
Hey, Grayson, you want to go for a walk by yourself? I'll be 50 meters behind you.
Let's bring your sister again.
Here, let me put some salmon in your pocket.
I'm using my son as bait now.
Yeah.
Just so I can get my fix.
Yeah. Just want to feel the rush.
Yeah. Chasing the dragon of my first coyote fight. Just can't reach that high. It's just not the same anymore. Need to fight 2 coyotes,
yeah.
3 coyotes.
Just let them take a little nip out of you, and then I'll jump in.
That's right, because there's got to be a reason that I killed a coyote. Otherwise, people are going to think I'm inhumane.
Yeah. No, it has to be self-defense.
So I have to let the coyote bite my son at least
once.
You
need to have fresh bait.
Or it could be coyote season. Be a hunter. Because they'll eventually probably put a, I don't know what they call it, but like a hit out on coyotes.
Do you think if I ran up, if the coyote attacked my kid and I ran over and just booted it as hard as I can, is that thing going to be startled? Is it going to run away? Or is it turning around and attacking me?
I think it depends on its motivation. If it's super hungry and it's... needs something to eat, it might run, it might stick around. If it's rabid, you definitely might have to kick it more than that.
You do look delicious.
That's what they say. They say, don't, unless you're prepared to kill it, don't start a fight with a coyote.
I would get behind. Like, you could kick it. I think the only way to win a fight is you have to take one for the team and you got to grab it and choke it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to get it from
rear behind. Naked choke.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
don't start the fight, but you end it. You end the fight.
Choke out the coyote or do the Steven Seagal neck twist. Oh, just break his neck. That's how you kill a coyote, son.
Yeah. Or you grab its tail and you just spin around in a circle very quickly, disorient it, let it go. Run, Grayson!
It goes flying through the air. Yeah, that's exactly how it probably would have happened if I had to fight the coyote. That coyote is lucky that he didn't have to fight me.
Oh, yeah. I bet you he's going back to his buddies and said, I ran into a Taz this morning. Good thing I got away.
Good thing I got away.
It was close,
he was
dude.
Right behind me.
No way. A Taz in this city? No way.
We're going to get scolded here. I am anyways, because I said I used a rideshare app on the weekend. I took a Lyft instead of a taxi. You know, who doesn't like that? Tony Rizzuto from Blue Line Taxi in Hamilton. Hello, Tony.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
I got your message. That's you know, that's cool. You guys, everybody has a choice. There's no doubt. Well, the difference is though, when you run into like a stinky driver or a dirty car,
yeah,
you just can't call like 1-800 Lyft or 1-800 Uber. There's nobody there, right? So mm-hmm. you can do your rating, but where does that go? And you know, and how strong is that? Where the difference with us is we have a zero tolerance for dirty cars or smelly cars, zero tolerance. So our call center knows when we get a call in, which is probably the smarter thing to do than confronting a driver. Because if you confront a driver, I mean, most of the times they're going to say, it's not me, or
yeah.
I don't smell anything.
Maybe,
right?
maybe get defensive, right?
It gets awkward too, right? You're just trying to get to where you want to go and you don't want to get into you know, lock and horn.
Did you get many calls or have you gotten calls about body odor of drivers?
Well, we've had them, but years and years ago, we implemented the zero tolerance. So the call center knows. So when a call comes in and a customer says, look, had a drive, car smelled, or the driver smelled, or the car was dirty, the supervisor on duty shuts that vehicle down immediately so they don't take another customer. And what happens is that driver now has to bring that vehicle to the supervisor
for a smell test.
Duty. And they go and they stick their nose. And most of our supervisors are female, so the women go right in there. And I'll tell you, they have a way more stricter senses than I do. And they basically say, no, this car's got to be shampooed, cleaned, or they know clearly to say to them, you need to go home. You need to use deodorant. You need, and they
get some tree pine fresheners under those arms.
they have a script they read, and it's pretty calm. It's very nice, and basically it just calls out the driver. At that point, I get a full report, right? So if it's a first time offense, great. Second time, third time, then we've got a problem with me. But
okay.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I haven't had one in years. Because the drivers know that they're not going anywhere once they get that call.
Yeah, so pulled off the road for a sniff test. Pretty pretty embarrassing. Big waste of everyone's time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you, if my mother-in-law takes a taxi every day, I mean, she even has a quaff of anything, she's on the phone at me, and it's not good.
That's who you should employ to do the sniff test, mother-in-laws. High standards of the mother-in-law.
Yeah. That's
okay, Tony, I'm beautiful. Sorry. Next time I'll take a taxi.
Good,
Blue Line Taxi in Hamilton. They're great.
Appreciate it.
Tony, you're awesome. We love that you're listening every morning to the Taz and Jim Show.
I love you guys, too. Take care.
Bye. Before I read this headline, Jim, I just want to clarify. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is kind of like Pokemon, right? It's like a card game.
Yeah, I think so. Like a Japanese card game that was also a cartoon in the 90s.
Right.
Early 2000s, yes.
Headline reads, female Yu-Gi-Oh! Player quits tournament because opponents smelt bad.
Not a surprising headline.
So this lady just couldn't take it anymore. She was doing well in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament,
yeah.
But her nose just couldn't last.
I have been to some Comic Cons. It's not like I have to leave bad, but there are some groups of people you walk by and you go, it doesn't smell great.
Listen to this part of the article. Hygiene has been so much of an issue at Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments that Konami, the game's maker, made a rule that players who show up smelling bad or wearing dirty clothes could be penalized.
You get a stink penalty off the bat? Not good. You get a yellow card because that's what your white shirt looks like.
Oh, that's disgusting. I had a smell-related issue on the weekend.
Hmm.
My son and I got in the back of a, it wasn't an Uber, it was a Lyft.
Okay.
I've been using Lyft lately. And the driver, some very, very strong BO.
Was the driver not left in by somebody else?
No,
it was the driver?
I was sitting behind him.
Oh, boy.
And it was so bad I had to do the windows down.
No way.
Yeah. And I thought about telling him, should you tell someone, like, how can you do it in a kind way?
I would never do it to their face. Too much stress, too personal. Say it in the comments section. Say, great ride, very quick. No offense, you stinker.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
But, dude, you might get more tips if you start putting on a little right guard sport.
Just a heads up, you smell. Don't give them a lower star. I don't know. Or you can. I don't know. But just, I think some people don't realize they stink is number one.
Yeah. Well, if it comes on, like if you've been driving for 12 hours and it's slowly accumulating under your armpits, you may not realize
like
it,
like a boiled
right?
frog, yes.
You're a boiled frog in your own stank at that point.
I took an Uber to work this morning, and the guy says you can Uber up to 14 hours straight, is what he was telling me. But then you have to take 24 hours off. So that guy could potentially be in there for 14 straight hours.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't blame him for smelling funny.
Yeah.
But the problem is he probably doesn't know. Did you tell him?
No, I didn't tell him. Are you surprised by that? Maybe if my son wasn't there, I would have told him.
But I wouldn't do it to his face.
It was no secret. I did my window down. My son is 7. He did his window down right after me.
Yeah. You know, I would just probably leave a comment and still give him a tip. So say, hey, it didn't ruin my experience, but just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Or try to subtly work it into the conversation. Like say something to the driver along the lines of, do you play in any Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments?
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.